A reading adapted from Mark 10, 40 to 42. Jesus taught, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me.
Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me.
Anyone who welcomes a prophet just because that person is a prophet will be given the same reward as a prophet.
Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me.
Anyone who welcomes a good person just because that person is good will be given the same reward as a good person.
Anyone who welcomes me also welcomes the one who sent me.
And anyone who gives one of my most humble followers
a cup of cool water.
Anyone who gives one of my most humble followers a cup of cool water just because that person is my follower will surely be rewarded.
Anyone who welcomes me welcomes
the one
who sent me.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be for the living word. It is a celebration weekend. As all of you good historians know, it was on this date of July 2nd, 241 years ago in Philadelphia, that the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence. On that day, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, that July 2nd will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great universal anniversary festival, and that the celebration should include pomp and parade, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. John Adams even refused to accept invitations for July 4th. Yet we know that it was on July 4th when delegates from the 13 colonies adopted that Declaration of Independence. Thus, though the vote for actual independence took place on July 2nd, from 1776 to the present, July 4th has been celebrated as the birth of our American independence. The gifts of being part of this country are great, and I think many of us do take them for granted. In this time of deep distrust and discouragement, we can often lose sight of just what we are charged to be about. We get caught up in being independent, and I see some who find it easiest to retreat into our own corners of woe. Tom Cadell tells a story about something that happened to him a few years ago in Troy, Ohio. On the Tuesday that followed his mother's death, there was the usual flurry of activity. People to call, arrangements with the funeral director, planning the service with the pastor, and the time with the family of remembering. He was staying in a motel in Troy, only minutes from the hospital where his mom had been in. And though he'd been to Troy before, he hadn't really seen the city. So after all those necessities were done, he had said goodbye to his sisters and their families, and he decided that rather than go back and sit in that motel alone to await his own family's arrival the next day, he would just drive around and look at Troy. Before he did that, though, he knew that what he really wanted and needed was a cup of coffee to take with him. So right next to the motel was a little restaurant called Crazy H's. He wrote, to put the best light on it, you could call it unassuming. It was the kind of restaurant where you always check your silverware and plates to make sure that they'd been washed. You know the kind. So he walked in and went up to the counter where he was waited on by this smallish woman with sunken features. Hard life was written on those deep lines etched in her face. She was probably in her 40s, but could it easily have passed for 60, he said. He said, "May I have a cup of coffee to go, please?" "Sure," she replied. And after hunting for a cup and a lid, she poured the coffee, handed it to him as he handed her the money. "Ah," she said, "forget about it. Just do something nice for someone." She said that that warm smile overcame the deep lines in her face. And as he drove away, sipping that coffee, he said he thought it was probably the best cup of coffee he'd ever had. It wasn't, of course, because of the taste, and it wasn't because he got a freebie, but he said it was because the coffee had the flavor of grace in it. He went on to say that maybe if this has happened on any other day other than one so filled with emotion and meaning, he might not have tasted that grace. But that day, he was truly moved. And he savored that coffee, sip by sip, as he rode around Troy viewing the city and thinking about his mom. He knew grace is always undeserved. Grace is always a surprise. Grace is always one other thing, too. It is always something that has the power to transform us into persons that we could not be otherwise. You know, when that waitress said, "Just do something nice for someone," she transformed him into a person who truly wanted to touch someone's life with an undeserved and unexpected measure of grace. But alas, he didn't see anyone else that night. The next day, there was practically nothing to do but wait for his family to arrive and for Thursday's funeral service. And he decided he had time to drive to his hometown, Urbana, and immerse himself in these memories of his mom, family, friends, and experiences that had really shaped who he was. He was still thinking about that waitress's kindness as he drove that 45 minutes from Troy to Urbana. His first stop was the city park. And there was this big pond there that had a tree-filled island in the middle and lots of waterfalls, three or four swans, many Canadian geese, and dozens, he said, of mallard ducks all swimming peacefully. It was a good place to begin this memory tour. As he watched all those birds float gracefully on the pond, he became aware of a flurry of activity on the other side, about a quarter around the pond. He couldn't see clearly what was happening, except there was this dozen ducks that seemed to be flying hard. And he noticed that there was one duck that wasn't moving, just flapping its wings frantically. And he walked over to that place, and as he drew closer, he could see that the unmoving duck had its beak straight in the air. And closer in, he could tell that it was hooked on something. Closer still, he could see that it was hooked on this fishing hook, and the line was snagged in a tree, and the duck was truly stuck, and the others, with all their bashing and bumping, were trying to free it. But the duck was clearly caught. He looked around, realizing that he was really the only person in the park, and wondered just what to do. And he didn't have a knife and not a clue how he was going to free this duck. It was really awful to see. So he bent near the spot where the captive and its friends were and tried to speak, you know, comfortingly to this terrified duck. He wanted so much to free it, he couldn't. All he could do was try to soothe it. And then it seemed out of nowhere, someone behind him startled him and saying, "She's in a fix, eh?" And this toothless old man in a kind of a golf cart was there. And Tom had no idea how or where he came from. "Well," he said, "let's see if we can help." And he had a knife, and remarkably, he had a small pair of wire cutters on his belt. And together, they tenderly pulled the duck from the water, cut the line, and then removed the hook from this duck's beak. And ever more tenderly, he placed her back in the water, and she swam off, surrounded by these other ducks, to the far side of the pond. "Hey," the toothless old man said, "that felt good, didn't it?" He laughed a bit as he watched the duck swim away. And then he called off to that duck, "Hey, Mrs. Duck, you go on and do something nice for another duck, okay?" As he started to drive off, Tom thanked him and he replied, "Oh, it's what I do. I work here." Cato says, "I believe that I had been approached by God in a hard life-faced waitress and a toothless old man. I was helpless against my mother's death, as was that little duck against the fish hook. But a cup of cold water was there, and he was met unexpectedly by God, who carries us through and saves us from our own powerlessness." You know, we are all broken people who need to drink deeply of God's abundant grace and challenge. In this day and age, it seems to me that it is even more important than ever that in the midst of our independence, that we know deep down that we are dependent upon others. And even a cup of cold water makes a big difference. In the scripture today, Jesus himself doesn't speak of extravagance, but just one little cup of cold water. And even that much, he says, will be rewarded. Discipleship, in other words, doesn't have to be heroic. Even offering a cold cup of water counts. Every one of you does have an opportunity to be Jesus' disciples and make a difference in our world. We are not called to heroic discipleship, but to genuine discipleship, the kind of discipleship characterized by what David Loess and many call everyday faith. Everyday, in both senses of the word, ordinary, mundane, simple. But also, it's each and every day. Perhaps our greatest weakness is not believing that God is at work in and through even the smallest acts of kindness and generosity. Certainly, we do ask ourselves, will this change or save the world? Probably not. But again, as David Loess reminds us, let's keep in mind that saving the world isn't our responsibility. Rather, it's God's responsibility and promise. And trusting God to care for the whole world empowers us to participate in that work. That is, participate in God's kingdom by caring for the people that we find here in our little corner of the world. Even the smallest acts of kindness and generosity done in faith are remembered. They have cosmic significance. They make a difference beyond what we can see, as each act of kindness and generosity done in the name of Jesus reverberates out and is gathered into God's work of love to save our world. I am so grateful for the cups of cold water that members of Stone Congregation have shared through these years that I have been with you. Those who offer food when there is illness or broken bones or a death. Those who visit prisoners or write to prisoners. Those who make desserts and serve in the soup kitchen. Those who offer produce out of your garden to others. those who call and offer rides to others, those who serve as ushers and greeters and worship leaders and choir members and Sunday school teachers and building custodians and tend to the weeds, and those who invite others to your home or go out to eat with you, those who take time to truly listen to each other, those who make phone calls to show your concern, those who write letters to our elected officials, and the list can go on and on. I believe that we so often forget how utterly dependent we are upon God and others. The more we can remove ourselves from the culture which says, you can make it on your own, you can do it all by yourself, the more that you will know how much you and I need the hospitality of God as experienced through others. So often we are going along fairly well until we simply can't function. And then we need to receive someone else's hospitality and help and support, perhaps a listening ear. We are all called to be those who give and those who receive. Following worship today, I encourage you to pour a glass of cold water for someone and then have a conversation. Talk about a time when you received a cup of cold water. Even a simple act can be so meaningful. May you savor a cup of cold water today. Amen.